Okay, we're starting at daf. Our daf is Ayin Zayin. We're going to start at Ayin Vav Amud Bet. We'll go back a little bit to this Tani Tana Kamei D'Rav. So the end. We ended off yesterday with a brayta that somebody brings before Rav, which says Notan Lehen Scharam Meshalem. They get there. So now, what is Scharam Meshalem? We explained this earlier. Is Schar Batala, right? If you renege on an agreement, so they right. So they. Sorry, this is the case where. They started the melacha, right? And then...
There's no work for them to do.
Right, there's no, right. That was the case where they brought them there and there was no work for them to do. So they already got to work, right? And then it turns out there was no work to do. So you have to pay them schar batalah for that day. So this guy brings this bride in front of Rav. So the Rav says to him, Amar le chavivi amar, right? He says, my uncle, Rabbi Chia, said, Ilu ana havai lo avayihim nalu elef kischar poel batel. I would only pay him schar batala. Va'art amar noten lem schar mishalem. And you say you pay them their salary? Because he understood that schar mishalem meant you pay them their salary. V'ha'ala katane. And doesn't it say there on the bright day? Eino dome ha-bataun la-ha-barikan osem alecha li-yoshe batel. Right? That there's no, you can't compare these two things and therefore they get schar batala. So they answer, lo simua kame. In other words, the Rav, you didn't understand because the guy who brought this brayta just didn't finish. You didn't let him finish, right? So therefore, you just didn't get what I was saying. But that's what I was saying. The second version, and that's going to lead into the next part, is Ika de Amre Simua Kame. He did actually read the entire brayta, and Rav's question wasn't didn't Chavivi say Schar Batala. He understood already from the beginning it was Schar Batala. But Hachikamar, this is what Rav said. Chavivi Amar, my uncle Rabbi Chia said, Ihava Ana, lo ava yihivna le klal, I wouldn't have paid him at all. Va'at Amar kepoel batel, you think he gets schar batala? Ela, kasha hach lo kasha. But then they say, ah. So now we have one version of him saying, you shouldn't get paid at all, versus you should get schar batala. So now why is this not a question? Had de sayre la'ara mi de'orta, had de lo sayre la'ara mi de'orta. This is a case where he showed him the lamb before, and this is a case where he didn't show him the lamb before. If the employer took the worker the night before and said, this is what I want you to do tomorrow, then the worker should have known that there wasn't going to be a lot of work for him left to do. Obviously, you have to wonder, well, then what did the employer think, right? But we'll see a few cases, and maybe it'll be a little bit more clear once we see the cases. Like, for example, let's say he saw the status of the field, and then it started to rain. So he knows that, oh, well, the rain came, and that's what it was yesterday, so obviously I don't need to do my job. Okay, so now here we're going to see some examples. If somebody hires someone to dig these ditches, and the rain came and filled it up with water, right? And then he can't do his work anymore, right? There's no way to be digging. So if he saw it the night before, then it's a hafsed of the baalim because they should have known that they wouldn't have been able to do their... Sorry. Say the Poalim because they should have known that there was no work for them to do. Okay? Rashi even says, if you look at Rashi for a second, he says, Say the Poalim, Kshamim Sheyardu have said Poalim hu, Tilo Yav Luhum Midi, Da Amr Luhum Mazalaihu Garam. He says, oh, the rain came, well, that's your bad luck. In other words, I hired you to do this, but that's your bad luck. But Lo Sire La Arame Orita, but if he didn't show him the lamb from before, then pseida de balabayit, okay? Because he wouldn't have known that he didn't know. Now here you have to look at Rashi. Rashi says da'amrele miyemar de ledata dahu ara agartan. In other words, the rain could have been in a particular area. Now he has no way of knowing where this land even is. The guy hires him. He says meet me tomorrow. You know, and obviously he didn't say meet me exactly where the land is. So he has no way of knowing where this land is that he's supposed to work on, and therefore he doesn't know, and therefore it's the balabayit's responsibility. It's his loss. Va'amar Rabbi, here's another case. Haiman de ogir agure ledavla. He hires someone to, okay, now he hires someone to irrigate the fields. Okay, he was supposed to water the fields. What happens? Va'ata mitra, okay, and then the rain comes. So now obviously, the work is already done. So pseida de poalim, but atanara. But if the river, right, there's the stream, and the stream overflows and goes into the field, then who's going to be the hafsed? What do you think? Pseida de balabayit, because how are the workers to know that this nahar overflows and it's going to overflow specifically into the field of this guy? So Atanara, so now they're going to say, so then, V'yav lekhe po'el batel, right? Then he has to pay the workers. V'amarava, ha'iman de'ogir agure l'davla, someone hires someone, another case of irrigating the fields. Ooh, and how are you supposed to irrigate the fields? You're supposed to take water from the nahar and irrigate the fields. Now, what happens if pasik nahara, the riverbed dries up? Okay, there's basically, the river dries up, there's just a riverbed, right? You basically can't water it. Bipalga dioma, halfway through the day. So he does half the work, the worker, but then the river dries up. Idlo avi de pasik. If it's not common that it's going to end, that this river is going to dry up, then say the depoalim. But avi de pasik, what if it's typical that this river dries up? So then it depends. Okay, in other words, if it's very atypical, well, then the workers certainly shouldn't have known, and therefore the responsibility goes on the balabayim. If it's typical, then it's going to depend. Ibne mata, if these workers are from the city, then they should know about the river, and they should know that the river dries up often, and therefore it's pseida de poalim. Anything that we can attribute to, you know, a typical event, we're going to put the blame on whoever is, you know, up them. So the workers are, you know, it's their mazal, like Rashi said, mazalaychu garam, it's your bad luck. But lav b'nei mat, if they're not people who live in the city, well, then it's say to the balabayik, because how are they supposed to know that this could be, it's this, what's going on here is really all about your expectations. If you go to a job and you know that there's a possibility that this job might happen, might not happen, then it's your bad luck that it didn't happen. But if you had no way of knowing and you went to work assuming that it was going to be a typical job and something goes wrong which you had no way of anticipating, then the assumption is, right, this all goes back to what was the intent in the beginning when I hired you to do a job, right? If I hire you to come clean my house for a few hours, so obviously there's going to be work to do, right? And then if for some reason my house happens to be clean that day and I don't have anything for you to do, that's my fault. That's not your fault who came to work in my house. But if it's the kind of job where there was an expectation from the beginning, I'm trying to think of an example in our lives, but even like a gardener coming and then it's pouring rain and the gardener can't come, you know, so in our, let's say, right, the gardener comes a different day. But in theory, you can think about it that his point is, well, I came to do the job. It's not my fault, right? So therefore, oh no, in that case, right, it would be the opposite. It would be, Dafka, he should have known that it would rain. And that's why in our day and age, right, the gardener will come tomorrow. He'll never claim to you, oh, well, it rained the day I was supposed to come. All right, hafsakat chashmal yafeh. So, you know, there's no electricity and then the people can't do their work, right? So that's something, if it's, let's say, it's Ranana, and typically we end up with hafsakot chashmal on very hot days or very cold days or something like that, where it's something that's reasonable to expect, well then, you know, you could say the depolim. If it's unexpected, then not. Okay. Ba'amarava, ha'iman da'agir agure la'vedata. Let's say they hire workers to do some job. Vishalim avidata b'plaga dioma. And they finish their work in half a day. You hire the guy for the day, but he happens to do the work pretty quickly. So eat le avidata din nicha minayas. You hired him not for a job, a kabbalah nut, right? Go finish the job. You hired him on a, right? So again, you hire someone to clean your house, and they happen to finish in 2 hours instead of 4 hours. You ask them to come for 4 hours, and they finish in 2 hours. So, eat le'avedata d'nicha minei ya'ev lehu. You can now give them any work that's easier than the work that you hire them for, okay? In other words, let's say you can't give them work like to schlep your furniture. That's harder work than cleaning, okay? But to give them work to, you know, fold the shirts in the closets and do extra things that are even easier, for sure you can then give them work to fill the day. Inami dekavata. Or work that's at the same level of difficulty. Obviously, you know, you have to figure out what constitutes this level of difficulty or not. But the assumption is that there's a rate for what people get paid for certain jobs. And that if you hire them for 30 shekel an hour, and you can't give them work that's worth 40 shekel an hour. Unless some of the Mepharshim say, unless you agreed to pay them the extra. And if they agree to that, then that's okay. So, eat nami de kavate, right? If it's the same, mivka lehu, you can insist that they work for you. De kashamina lonim mivka lehu. But if it's more difficult work, then you can't insist that they do it. Again, if you pay them more, then, and they agree, then great. Vinoten lehem schara mishalem. And then you have to pay them the wages that you promised them for the entire day, even though they're sitting and basically doing nothing. Amai, Why do you have to pay them? Now, here it's interesting. You can see that this charam mishalem isn't so clear cut. Now, right before, we had this charam mishalem in schar batala. And then we had Rav heard this Tana say it, and he thought that Scharam Shalem means full salary. So here, Scharam Shalem actually means full salary. So now the Gemara asks, Amai, why are you paying them full salary? Why don't you, they're not going to do any work for you, then pay them Schar Batala. So, Ki Ka'amarava, Ba'achlushe Dimachosa, Dilo Avde, Chalshe. So now we're saying that when Rav said what he said about paying them Schar full salary, it's because we're talking about these people who generally carry these loads, and if they don't work, then they're going to get weaker. So therefore, they dafka have to. Wait, so how does this work? I got confused with this yesterday also. Right. If they sit and do nothing, it's not good for them. So therefore, if you pay them. So you pay them their full wages.
It's not to their benefit to sit idle.
What?
It's not to their benefit to sit idle.
Right, so therefore what? So therefore...
It doesn't matter, even if you pay them, it doesn't mean...
Right, but they're not working, that's the problem. That's why I keep getting confused by this, right? Because in the end, they're not working.
They're an exception to the rule.
Right, they're an exception to the rule, but I'm trying to figure out how that works, though. Because...
They would rather work than not work, is the implication. So why are you paying them less for something that they...
Uh-huh. I see. There's no value to them to not doing any work. Right. That's the issue. Okay. In the end, they're still not getting there. It's basically what this is saying. In other words, you want to keep them in shape, right? Like someone who's working out all the time so they can keep in shape. So it's not, and someone who's really trying to keep in shape, it's not in their benefit to sit doing nothing. So therefore, you have to pay them a regular wage. It's not like they're actually batel. It's a bad thing for them to be batel. Okay. Amar mar, shamin lahem et masha asu. Okay, so now we're going back to this. Right now we have to go all the way back. This was this Braita. Okay, we started on the beginning part of the Braita about itchilu b'melacha, lo itchilu b'melacha, right? Aval itchilu b'melacha, shamin lahen masha asu. Okay, so if they already started work and they stopped in the middle, right, then you evaluate what they did. So if you remember, we had ketzad, kiblu kama liktor b'shnei sla'im, and the job was worth 8 dinarim, we'll put it into dinarim. They did half. They left half, right? Or beged la'arog b'shnei sla'im, or guchatzio v'nichu chatzio. Shamin lahem et masha asu. And then it says, haya yafesh shisha dinarim, noten lahem sela. Right? So you remember this case? According, this was different from our mission, right? If they did work that was worth shmona dinarim, and they did half, and then it turns out prices went up, and the second half is going to cost the guy 6 to pay. Right? So then... The guy who hired them still has to, he ends up losing out here, even though the workers ditched him in the middle of the day, right? They still get their 4, he now has to pay 6, and he pays altogether 10 dinarim instead of the 8 that originally was. So, shamin lam mashasu, ketzare yafesh shisha dinarim, noten lam sela. So now they're pointing out here, kasava rabanan, yad poel ala elyona. Remember I said that the mission didn't match Israel labor laws, right? This clearly matches Israel labor laws. It says that the Yada Poel is always ala Elyona. Okay, he gets the more zchuyot. So basically, the point is, if he did his work, he gets paid for what he did. He might have changed his mind and said, I don't want to do the rest of the work, but he already did half the job. So he has to get paid what he worked for half that job. We don't care that he's messing you up in the future. And so that's, you know, it's an annoyance, but, and it's going to cost you more money now, but Yad Poel Al Elyona, and that clearly disagrees with our Mishnah. And we're going to see the other opinion and who our Mishnah goes by. Then we had a few strange lines there that didn't seem to make any sense, that they made a lot of sense, but it was almost unnecessary to say so. So what's this case here? The workers were chozer bahem. Then it says, so either the guy has to now pay another 6 to hire more workers, or these original guys who changed their mind and said, I don't want to do the job, you can convince them to work for you and finish the job, and then they'll get paid 8. So the Gemara says, Pshita, this is obvious. Obviously, if they finish the job that they committed to do from the beginning, so they're going to get their 8, their 2 sla'im, their 8 dinarim. So now what is the Gemara saying? Lotzricha di'iyaker avidata. Ah, no, it's a case like this, where they... Right, what happened? They started the job, and then they saw that the market rate is now 6 for half the job, or 12, you know, 12 for the whole job, and they don't want to work for 18 dinarim like they said in the beginning. V'imur po'alim v'azabal abayit. Right, so then the po'alim basically say, we're not going to work. Azabal abayit ufaisinu, and he basically convinces them to come back to the job. Now, notice, what does he do? He commits them to come back to the job, but he doesn't say, I'll pay you more money to stay on the job. So, Ma'u Detema, you might have thought, Matzi Amrile, they could say to him, when we agreed to come back, it's because we assumed you were going to now pass the higher rate. Kamashmalan, but this comes to teach you. When I convinced you to come back to work, I just convinced you because I said I would give you food. That's all. I'll order you some pizza or, you know, give you some coffee, right? But I didn't mean that I'm going to actually pay you more. Some people actually say, this is actually very interesting. According to some of them, Pershim, it means you said you'd give them better food. Because food is a basic, it's implicit in any agreement that you give your workers food, which I thought was interesting. And that is, there's a debate about whether food is included or not included, and which I think is relevant. You know, you have workers coming to your house. You know, I know some people do give food to their workers, some people don't, right? You have cleaning help. Do they eat anything in their house? Do they not? Depending on. So it's interesting that clearly there also, you know, throughout the age, the time, I guess, there were different minhagim. So the people who saw that you always give workers food, so they said, obviously this doesn't mean you give them food, it means you give them better food, even though that's clearly, it doesn't sound like the pshat here. It sounds like you give them food. Right.
Case where you're allowed to fool them?
Yeah.
I mean, we had a
no. So this right. So we also talked about fooling them. The fooling them, I think, is only in the case of the Davar Ha'Avid. Uh-huh. The assumption here is that we're not talking about Davar Ha'Avid. Okay, right then. That's only in Davar Ha'Avid that you can fool them. So here, it's just you didn't stipulate what you were giving them extra. You just said, "Please come work for me. I'll make it better for you." Maybe you said. And better, what does better mean? Better means, yeah, they assumed we get paid. And then the workers, so the employer assumed, I'll just give you some food. Sela notema, it's not clear exactly what he promised them, but he certainly didn't say, I'm going to pay you a higher salary. If he did, he'd have to. Sela notema hem sela. So now this was also, right, if the job was four, right, if the job altogether was eight, and the guys quit in the middle, and the what's left to pay is a sela, which is four. Then you pay them, you know, four for the first half, and you hire workers for the second half. So this is quite obvious, right? There's no chachma in this. The prices are the same exactly as what it was from the beginning. So what's the chiddush here? Pshita. So lo sricha. We need it for which case? Dizal avidata meikara. The rate was cheap in the beginning. Va'agrinu b'tvei zuza. Okay, let's say the rate was 30 shekel an hour, and you told these guys, I'll pay you 35, because I know that 30 is pretty low, and I know you really want to get paid more, so I'll pay you 35 to come to the job. Ula sof, iyakar avidata b'kam b'tvei zuza. And then what happens? They work halfway. They work till... They work, you know, they're so half of 35, right? They work 17 and a half shekels worth. Then what happens? Then they quit, right? And then, but now he rehires them back and convinces them to do the work. So now when they go back to be hired, the rate is 35 for everybody, not just for them. So now, l'sofi yakar avidata, v'kam b'tvei zuzei, right? And now everybody's getting hired for 35. It's the going rate. So now what do you think they're going to say to him? Ma'u detema amrile t'fei zuzei, Amartlan, Tvei Zuze Havlan. Just like before, you were willing to up our salary by 5 shekels an hour. So now that the going rate's 35, we want to take 30 for the second half, 40 for the second half, meaning 20, right? Because it's half a job. So they say, well, for the second half, we assumed you were paying us 20, because if you were willing to up it 5 from the typical rate, so now you're also willing to up it 5 for the typical rate, even though the rate went up. So Kamashmalan, this comes to teach you, no. De Amrlehu ki Amrlehu Tvei Zuze. Why did I promise you 35? Delava kimlechu. Because I wouldn't, right? I knew you wouldn't have done the job had I not offered you 35. You weren't going to be willing to work for 30. It was too low. But hacha kimlechu. But now, it's the rate is 35, and therefore that was the rate you were willing to work for before. This is such great psychology, right? In other words, if you're willing to, you're not willing to work for 30, you're willing to work for more, right? More than the going rates. You're willing to work for 35. But then if the rate goes up, is it always that you say, I'm only willing to work for higher than the going rate? Or was it that amount? Was it that amount? You know, were you just looking to get a higher? Right. Is it absolute or relative? Exactly. So it's interesting. So here the Gemara says, you know, that's what the Chiddush is, that if it said Sela, it's Sela, and it's whatever you agreed from the beginning, that you can't say, oh, well, now that the rate's higher, I assumed you would have paid me higher. We're going to see now the reverse if the Baal HaBayit is Choser Bo. Rabbi Dosa Omer, so now going back to this Braita, we have Rabbi Dosa, and he's the one who matches our Mishnah. Rabbi Dosa, this is just quoting back to that Braita we saw yesterday. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Shamin Lahem Emasha Atid Lahasot, right? We evaluate it based on what is going to be in the future. Meaning, Haya Yafesh Shisha Dinarim, Noten Lahem Shekel, if the rest of the job is now going to cost six, right? Then the original guys, right? It's like basic elementary math, right? How many different ways can we get to eight, right? Either you're going to pay four and four. But now, the employer shouldn't get messed up, he made a deal for eight. These guys messed him up. It's now going to cost him more, so they have to pay the difference. So basically, they only get two dinarim for the first half of the job because they have to pay the difference so that he can afford to finish the job with at the same price. Kasavar Yad Poel ala Tachtona, right? Because they hold, now this doesn't mean always Yad Poel ala Tachtona, but in the case where, you know, the Poel is Chozer Bo, his Yad is not ala Elyona, like Tanakama said, like Chachamim said, but Yad Poel ala Tachtona. O Yigmaru Malachtam V'yitzlu Shnei Slaim, so now we again are going to have to explain this line according to him. Or they can finish the job and get all full 18 arim. So they say again, pshita, right? If they decide, after they were going to be chozer bo, and then they realize, well, this wasn't so smart for us, because now we're only getting two for the half job we did, you know what? We'll finish the job, we'll do it for shnei slayim. So, like we agreed. So again, lo tzricha, what do you need this case for? Dizal avidata, where the rate goes down, let's say. Let's say it's cheaper now, okay? It's cheaper to hire workers, and they could get it, right? He could pay them four for the first half. And if he hired new workers, what would it cost him? It would cost him only three, let's say. Okay? And it would cost him altogether only eight. So now, what might you... I'm sorry, seven. Thank you. It would cost him only seven instead of eight. So now, Omer Balabayit, Lo Tzricha Dizala Vidata, Imar Balabayit, the Balabayit might say, convince them to finish the job. But Azapali Mefaisuhu, I'm sorry, it's the opposite. The Balabayit wants to cancel. And they said, please, no, let us finish the job. And he wants to find guys for cheaper. And then they say, no, we'll finish the job. So, Ma'u Detema, Matayamaluhu Adata, Debitsiriti, Lume Agrai, right? I assumed when you said, oh, please let us finish the job, that you were willing to do it for less, but Sir is less, right? So, you were willing to be hired for less. Kamashmalan, Da'amrele, this comes to teach you that they can say, Adata da'avidan lach avidata shvirata, just like we saw yesterday. They said, no, we said we want to finish the job, but we were basically saying that we'll do you a job that's valued even higher. In other words, we'll work harder, we'll do a better type job. Okay? So therefore, they can claim that, and therefore, they can still get their eight, and they don't have to go down to seven. Sela, noten lahem sela, right? So what if, right, it was still going to be a sela, basically the rates hadn't changed at all. So pshita, amarafuna, now we're going to see exactly the same we saw before, in the reverse, b'reid rav natan lo tzricha do'ozule inhu gabe zuze me'ikara. It's what happened. He was only willing to pay them a lower rate from the beginning. He said, look, the going rate is 30, I'm only going to pay you 25. And then what happens? The rate goes down to 25. So again, Ma'u Detema, maybe he will say, the employer, Bitzir Zuza Amaritali, Bitzir Zuza Yavina Lachu, right? You were willing to work for five less? This time also, I'll pay you five less. Kamash Malan Da Amrele, they can say to him, Ki Amarna Lacha Bitzir Zuza Delo Avakim Lach, right? That's because we knew that you wanted to hire, you know, we were willing to do the job for the lower rate. But hashta kimlach, but now that everyone's doing for this rate, right, we're not going to go any lower. Okay? That wasn't, you know, you already found someone for this rate. That was the rate you were willing. You know, don't start telling me you're only willing to pay less than the going rate all the time. Okay. Now we're going to deal with this psikav rav for a little while. I'm a rav halachaki rabbi dosa. So rav patkins like rabbi dosa, which makes sense also because his opinion matches our mishnah, that basically we don't say all the rights go to the poel. We say whoever's chozer bo yadol atachto. Now he has to compensate the other person that he messed up. So now they're going to question this. So rav says halachas like rabbi dosa. But they're going to question this against something else that Rav said. Umi amar Rav hachi, did Rav really say this? V'hamar Rav, po'al yachol lachzor bo afilu b'chatzi hayom. Rav says that a po'al can be chozer bo even in the middle of the day, meaning that he shouldn't take any loss on this. And if you want to suggest, okay, remember the suggestion because we're going to go through it a few times. We're going to reject and then try to make it work even though we've rejected it. Remember, v'chitema always means, and if you want to say something like this, we're going to reject it. So v'chitema shane le the Rabbi Dosa bein tzchirut lekavlanut. Okay, so now let's just chart it out for a second. Okay, we have Rabbi Dosa saying, right, Rabbi Dosa and Rav paskening like Rabbi Dosa, saying that if you're chozer bo, right, or let's just put it like this, eino yachol lachzor bo, right, and if you do, you have to pay the price, okay? And whereas Rav himself says in a different place, chozer bo, right, he can be chozer bo even in the middle of the day. So we have these two seemingly contradictory statements. So now the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe we're going to distinguish here between a schir yom and a kablan, okay? The Rav, when he says a poel generally is a worker, a schir yom. Okay, when he said a poel yachol lachzor bo b'chatzi hayom, he was talking about an hourly rate, as opposed to a kablan. Okay, so let's read. V'chitem ashani le'ed Rabbi Dosa ben schirut lekablanut. Okay, and you would say this because, right, so Rashi says, digabe schirut ita lahay taima da'avadai heim v'lo avadim la'avadim. As we call a schir yom and eved, basically, right? He's different than a kablan. When you go to, I always think of the dry cleaners, okay? You go to the dry cleaners, that guy's not your eved, right? He doesn't work for you. I mean, even someone who works in your house is not your eved. But if they work for you on an hourly rate, they're more your worker than the guy who's, you know, just doing a job. So therefore, so Rashi says it nicely. He says, the guy who works at your house is an eved. So what do we always say? Avadahem v'la avadim l'avadim. And as you're avadim of God, and therefore your poel, right, we have to protect his rights even more. Faba kabbalanut, ein ze eved el alatzmo. He works for himself, right? He's his own person. He works for himself, and he does a job for you. Okay, so maybe you would think to distinguish that way. Umishanele, but wait, we know that we don't distinguish. Now here we're going to have to prove that it's Rabbi Dosa who's the editor, who's, you know, it's his opinion who we're talking about in this braita. Otherwise, you could say maybe the person in this braita doesn't, but Rabbi Dosa would. So now we're going to have to prove that. So here, first, let's see what it says in the braita. Hatanya, hasocheret apoel ulechatzi hayom shama shemeit lomeit o shachas toch chama. Okay, all of us, you hire a worker in the middle of the day. What happens? His mother dies. Okay, or he gets sick with fever. Okay, so legitimate excuse, right? What do we call this? Ones. Okay, what happens? Im sachirhu noten lo scharo, im kablanu noten lo kablanuto. He doesn't get his full salary for the day. He gets what he worked, exactly what he worked, even if he's messing you up now. Okay, what's the assumption here? Only in an ones case. But if it were a regular case where he just decides, I'm not doing the job, then you could penalize him. You follow? Okay. So Mani, who is this go according to? Ilem a Rabbanan. So remember, what did Rabbanan say? No matter what, he could be chozer bo in the middle of the day without penalizing him. So therefore, my iriyah shamasha meit lo meit, o shachas toch chama da'anus, ki lo anus nami. So this clearly can't be Rabbanan, because ha'amu Rabbanan, yad po'el ala yonah. He never loses out. So ela lav Rabbi Dosahi. This must be Rabbi Dosa. And what do you see here? Shma mina lo shane le the Rabbi Dosa ben tzchiru le kablanut. Here he basically says, whether you're a sachir, whether you're a kablan, you get your full salary, right? And the assumption is, if you reneged for some other reason that wasn't ones, whether you're a sachir yom, whether you're a kablan, you don't get you would lose out, basically. You don't get your full salary if the guy gets messed up. So shma, okay, so therefore we see that Rabbi Dosa isn't mechalek ben tzchiru le kablanut, and therefore this wouldn't be a good answer. So Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak b'davar ha'avu v'divrei hakol. Okay, first you have to understand Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak says you can be mechalek ben schir yom lekavlanut. What does he have to explain now? The Braita. Okay, so how does he explain the Braita? He says that the Braita, remember we said this, Rabbi Dosa Chachamim Machloket is b'davar she'enu avud. So he's going to say, well, the Braita, when it talked about he gets his full salary, is b'davar ha'avu v'divrei hakol. And it's What did the Braita say? The Braita said if it's ones, he doesn't get penalized. But if it's not ones, he gets penalized. Why is he going to get penalized? Ah, because it's Davar Ha'avid. In which case, this has nothing to do with our issue. And we could still say that Rabbi Yosef is machalek between Schirut le Kablanut. So now we're going to say Tnan. But wait, it says in the Mishnah, Kol HaMeshaneh Yado Al HaTachtona, B'chol HaChozer Bo Yado Al HaTachtona. So we had these two statements at the end of the Mishnah, which we said we're going to have to deal with as we get to the Gemara, because it's not so clear. Remember, the main problem here is, for our purposes, the Kol HaMeshaneh, again, we'll deal with later, but Kol HaChozer Bo Yado Al HaTachtona is a totally unnecessary statement, the way we understood the Mishnah, right? Because we already said, if you're Chozer Bo Yado Al HaTachtona. So Bishlama, if we look at these two sentences, one of them makes sense, one doesn't. Kol HaMeshaneh Yado Al HaTachtona, because distam lantana ke Rabbi Yehuda, because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda about that case. Again, we'll have to see the machloket later. There's a machloket Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir about kol mishaneh yadola. Kol mishaneh, if you change from what the guy how you do, we'll see. There's a machloket, and our Mishnah passes like Rabbi Yehuda. Ella kol achozer bo yadola tachtonala tu yemai. What does it come to include? So right now, remember where we're at. We think that Rabbi Dosa could be machalek between a schir yom and a kablan. Right now, we're going to prove that can't be the case, because what is this kol achozer bo yado al hatachtona? Right, we tried to prove from the Braita that it can't be true. We said we can explain the Braita in a different case, has nothing to do with it. But comes, who was this? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and he says, but from our Mishnah we can learn that, because what could kol achozer bo yado al hatachtona possibly come to include that's not included already in the Mishnah? My lav la tuye poel ucha Rabbi Dosa. Right? What can we assume that the Mishnah beforehand, when it talked about a case of Pauli being chozer bahem or the Balabait being chozer, it was in a Kablanut case. And when it says v'chol achozer bo, it came to include even a poel, even a schir yom. And there, what do you see? Right? And therefore, we can prove, it's obviously according to Rabbi Dosa, because remember, Chachamim say that ha-poel is tamid yado al ha'elyona. So therefore, we can assume that Rabbi Dosa, again, if this is assuming that this line of kol achozer bo yado al hatachtona comes to mean a poel also, right? That's the basic chidush. Also a poel, and therefore we would show that we can't answer the distinction of Rabbi Dosa v'machalek between schir yom and poel. So, therefore, what are we going to say? So now what are we going to say? Remember, we're not comparing Rabbi Dosa to Rabbi Dosa. What are we comparing? Rav paskins like Rabbi Dosa, and then Rav himself paskins seemingly something else. So what are we going to answer? We've done this in a bunch of cases. And the Rabbi Dosa tarite kamar, he said two things. Right? What did Rabbi Dosa said? He said on the one hand, whoever's chozer bo yado al hatachtona. And the second thing is, he said, and we're not machalik between a kablan and a schir yom, assuming that that's how we understand kol chozer bo yado al hatachtona, is to include a poel. Okay, and that he's the author of that line. So we can say that Rav holds like him that when it comes to a kablan, we're going to say kol chozer bo yado al hatachtona, but not when a schir yom. Okay, and that's what we're going to basically say. That's one answer. Ibait Ema. Alternatively, what can we do? Just like we did before. Last time we brought a Braita to prove he's not Mechalek, and we said, well, the Braita's talking about something else. We could say that this line, Kol HaChozer Bo Yado Al HaTachtona, is not coming to include a Poel. It's coming for a different reason. Ibait Ema, Kol HaChozer Bo Yado Al HaTachtona. What's that line coming for? Again, not to teach us that a Poel has the same law as a Kablan. And then we can say that Rabbi Dosa in the beginning of the Mishnah was really talking about a Kablan. So we need it. L'chidetanya, Kol HaChozer Bo Ketzad. Okay, here's a bright time. What does it say? Kol achozer bo ketzad. What are we talking about? Kol achozer bo. Yado al hatachtona. This is the case we mean. Haresha macharsa de lechavero be'elef zuz. We're going to basically say that this is an entirely different case. I mean, entirely, whatever. It's somewhat different, right? It's not dealing with poalim, first of all. It's dealing with a sale. Okay, so this line, kol achozer bo, is talking about someone being chozer bo from a sale. Okay, not a worker employer arrangement, which is a little strange because that's not the topic of our Mishnah at all. But okay, or our parak for the most. Well, the truth is we're going to get to Srirut, so it's not totally crazy. You could say, well, we're going to apply the laws of Poalim also to Mechira, and the next case in the Mishnah, anyway, the next Mishnah is Srirut, so it's not so crazy actually. Haresha macharsa de lechaviro be'elef zuz. So you sell a field to a friend for 1,000 zuzim. Natalo ma'ot mehen 200 zuz. And the guy, the lokeach, pays so far one-fifth, okay? He pays 200 zuz. Bizman, and then what happens? Somebody reneges on the agreement. So bizman shamocher choserbo, yad lokech ala elyona. What does it mean that he's, right, which means basically yad mocher ala tachtona, just like our mission, right? Kol choserbo yado ala tachtona. So what does it mean in this case that yado ala, yad lokech is ala elyona? He has all the options in front of him. It means ratza omer lo ten li ma'utai. Right? He could say, you no longer want to sell me this, right? Imagine you buy a house, you put on a down payment, right? And then the guy says, I changed my mind, I don't want to sell you this house. Okay, so if the mocher says, I don't want to sell you the house, so the lokeach could say like this, give me all my money back that I paid you. Oh, ten li karka kenega ma'utai. Give me a part, it's a little more complicated with the house, but give me, what?
A fifth of the land.
Right, give me a fifth of the land. I want a fifth of the property. Mehecha magbiho, and not only does he get to choose what he wants, but also, where does he get it from? Mina idit, from the best of the land, because he messed him over. Ubizman shelokech chozerbo, now we're going to see the flip. Let's say the guy says, listen, I don't want to buy your house anymore. Maybe I don't have the money. Yab mocher la el yonasa, how does this work? Ratza omer lo helach ma'utecha. He could say, here, take your money back. I don't want to give you anything. Ratza omer helach karka kenega ma'utecha. Or he could say, take a fifth of my land and, you know, we'll be done. Mehecha magbiho. If he gives him a fifth of the land, though, what kind of land does he have to give him? Mina ziburid. He could give him from the worst land.
Doesn't have to, but can.
You're right, he can, obviously. He doesn't have to. Rashbag omer milamdino tan shelo yachzeru. Now, Rashbag adds this added element. We want to teach people that they shouldn't be chozerbo, so what should we do? Ketzad. Kotev lo, ani ploni ben ploni, macharti sadeh ploni leploni be'elef zuz, v'natan li mehem matayim zuz, v'hareini noshebo shmona me'ot zuz. Kana u'machzir lo et hashar, afilu la'achar kama shanim. Rashbag says, if the mocher, let's say, I sell you a property and you give me a down payment, what should we do? I should make a contract right then that says, if I'm selling you my house and I don't want you to renege, I should make a contract that says, I sold you this property and you now owe me, as a loan, 800 zuz. In which case, the land is sold to you, the deal is done, you can't be chozerbo on that, and you just have to, you basically, it's an IOU of 800 zuz, and you can pay me, right? Afilu lachar kama shanim. I'll give you time to pay it, but, you know, eventually you have to pay me, and you can't be chozerbo. Okay, now we're going to go into details of this braita. So basically, what have we done? We basically said that Rabbi Dosa can still be mechalek ben schir yom lekablan, in which case we have an answer. Right? We gave two answers to this question about Rav's seemingly contradictory statements. One is that Rav only agreed with Rabbi Dosa part way and not full way. Or two is that Rabbi Dosa himself was mechalek, and this term called the chozer bo yado ala tachtona is coming to teach about this other case, which now we're dealing with. Amar Mar. Mehecha magbiho mina idit. So now we're going to be a little troubled by how does he get from the idit? Kasal kadatach me idit in nechasav. Right? What do we assume this means? It means that right now, okay, I try to buy this land. Let's just assume this is a piece of land. I tried to buy this land from you. I gave you 200 zuz, and then you changed your mind and don't want to sell it to me anymore. So what happens? I can be goveh karka from you in the amount of 200 zuz from the best of your land, which sounds like, let's say the land you were selling me was Beinonit, and I can go to this land, which is your Edit land, and I can take, even though I was buying this land, right? But this, I'm allowed now, according to this halacha, to take from the best of your land, which sounds like, it's basically like an IOU, you owe me, you're a balchov, you owe me money, and I can go collect from any of the best lands. There's two problems with this. Number one, if you're a Baal Chov, what do we learn? Right? V'lo yehe ela Baal Chov. Utnan Baal Chov dino b'beinonit. If you're a Baal Chov, I'm not allowed to take from the best of your land. Remember, there were only certain situations, certain people who could take from the best. But I'm a Baal Chov, so dino b'beinonit. V'od ha'ara diyag zuze. In other words, I gave you money for this land, so how can I possibly take for some other land that was never part of our arrangement? I was only buying that property. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he said, you misunderstood this halacha. What does it mean? Me'idit sheba u'mizibu rit sheba. What it means is that this property is made up of, okay, let's see, we have a marker here, it's got a cover and a marker part. This property has Idit part of it, it has Ibarit part of it, it has Benonit part. So, if you're the mocher who got messed up, so the lokeh can now take from, if the mocher, if the mocher got messed up, then he can, right, then what happens? Then the lokeh can say, if the mocher reneged, then the lokeh can take from the Idit, right? Okay. He can take from the Idit of the land they discussed. Okay, therefore, it's just saying you get to take from the best. And if the lokeh reneged, then he can
give the worst of that same land.
Right, he can give him the worst from that land. Okay. Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Amar, Afilu Tama Mi'iditin Chasav. So now he's going to explain, no, actually, you can take from the other land and from the best of it. How does he explain this? Stam man dezaben araba alpe zuza. Ozile muzal, umizabe nichse, vahavale kinizak, utnan hanizak in shamin lehem beidit. So let's work backwards. Who does get from the idit? Someone who's damaged. If the mocher reneges on the agreement and won't give the lokeh all the property, the assumption is the lokeh is only going to get a fifth of this property now. Now, what's the situation? If you sold a fifth of the property by itself, you would sell it for a particular price. But if you sold the entire property, you'll give him a better rate. And therefore, he is now, he's only getting a fifth, he's basically getting damaged, okay? It's basically, he's losing out. And therefore, he's considered a nizak, because you've caused him a loss of money. And therefore, he can take from some other land, from the Idit, he's allowed. Okay? So two different explanations. Now we're going to go to the statement of Rashbag. Rashbag omer melamdino tan shelo yachzeru. Ketzad kotev lo ani ploni ben ploni. Right. So after the guy pays the 200 zuz, the mocher can try to turn this into a malve, basically. So now, what does this imply? Tam adikatavle hachi. The reason this seems to work is because he wrote a shtar about this, right? If you didn't write a shtar, obviously this wouldn't work, right? What are we assuming? If you write this shtar, then the land is already automatically acquired by the lokeh, and he just owes him money now, and it becomes a malva, a halva. So it sounds like only because he wrote such a shtar, but ha lo katav hachi lo kane, right? But if he didn't write such a shtar, then the land wouldn't all belong to the lokeh. The Hatanya, don't we know from a Braita that says like this? Hanotein eravon lechavero. We're going to have to read. There's a few opinions in this Braita, and they're going to stop things in the middle a little bit. But so keep tight till we get to the end. If you give an eravon lechavero, so let's say you buy property and say, I owe you money. I'm going to give you something kineged the money that I owe you. Avamarlo im ani choserbi eravoni machulecha. Right. If I don't ever give you the money back, so you could keep this eravon I gave you. V'hala omer, and the assumption is it's worth more than, right, I think it's worth more than the item itself. Than the money owed. V'hala omer, and the other guy says, im ani chozer bi, if I renege on this agreement, ech po lecha ervoncha, I'll give you double what you gave me. Right, so remember this is asmachta. So nitkaimu hatzna'im, right, because obviously what they're just saying is, right, no matter what, you'll win out, yeah, the other side will win out. So obviously they didn't really mean it, but according to Rabbi Yossi, what does Rabbi Yossi say? Right? Nitkaimu atzna'im. This does work. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, and now they're just stopping the Braita to tell you. Rabbi Yossi the Tami, he goes to Shita Tov, because remember Rabbi Yossi Shita Da'amar Asmachta Kanya. He holds. You know, let me just put it in other words. Be careful with your words, because whatever you say, he really holds, even if you don't really mean it. Okay? Asmachta Kanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dayoshi Yiknen Keneged Ervono. He acquires whatever part is keneged the eravon. Okay? That he gets whatever the eravon is worth, that's what the guy is konen. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Bamed Marim Amurim, Bizman Sha'amar lo ervoni yikon. That's only if he says my eravon will be konen. Aval, Machar lo sadeh be'elef zuz. Okay, now we're going to see Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and how what he says here is different from what he says there. If you sold him a field by Elef Zuz, okay, let's just remind us what we said before, remember? If you write a shtar, then it goes over into a loan. If you don't write a shtar, it doesn't. So, Machar lo sadeh be Elef Zuz, v'notein lo mehem 500 zuz. Okay, here it's not 200, it's 500, but either which way, it's part. Kana u'machzir lo metashar, filu lachar kama shanim. What does Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say? If you already pay half, right? Now, you could maybe say difference between a half and a fifth. But anyway, it doesn't sound that way, that there would be a distinction. If you already paid part, the field is nikneh, and the rest just goes over into a loan. Okay, rolls over into a loan.
As if there had been a shtar.
As if there had been a shtar, right? Even though there is no shtar. So how could that be? In one case, he says you need a shtar. If you didn't have a shtar, it doesn't protect you, right? The field isn't sold.
Is the difference because of the eruv?
No, no. Here he's saying it's without it, right? No, it's not with an eruv. Because he only says, only if you hold eruvoni yikneh. Okay, so what does he answer? Lo kasha. Hadika'ayav v'nafika zuzei. Hadilokai of an afikazuze. Okay, there's going to be a difference between if the owner goes looking for his money. Okay, in a case where the owner keeps saying, hey, why didn't you pay me? Why didn't you pay me? Why didn't you pay me? Then, unless there's actually a shtar that turned it into a halva'ah, we're not going to assume it's a halva'ah, because what are we going to assume? The owner wants the money now. And therefore, if you don't pay him the money, he wants to sell his field to someone else because he's stripped for cash and he needs money. So therefore, he obviously wasn't intending to roll this over into a loan. But if he's not ayel v'nafik, as we say, ayel v'nafik is nichnas v'yotze. In other words, he keeps going to your house, knocking on your door, saying, hey, why didn't you pay me? If he's not doing that, then we can assume that he's not stripped for cash, and he's basically going to roll it over into a loan, and therefore it works. Okay? And like da'amar Rava, like Rava says, ha'iman de'zevim midi l'chavre, somebody who sells something to his friend, b'ka'av anapika zuze, and he keeps going asking for the money, lo kane, okay, it's not kone, the item is not nikne to him, but lo ka'av anapika zuze, kane, but if he's not constantly going looking for his money, then it's not kone, okay? I just wanted to add one thing here, that this, right, the assumption is that if he's, when we say lo kone, what does it mean lo kone? It means the rest of it, right? Obviously, the part that he sold him already is kone, right? You follow? The 200 zuz worth or the 500 zuz worth, right? Whichever case you want to take, the part that he gave him is kone. The issue is, though, and we're going to see this is going to lead into tomorrow, that's why I want to end with it, that only works with land and things that can be split, right? Our case was a land case where you can split up the land, right? Remember, I said even in the beginning, nowadays with a house, you can't exactly split the house. Maybe you can take some of the property, but it's not really going to be useful for anybody. Somebody gets a little portion of my backyard, that's not really going to do them any good. So in a case where it can't be split, then the whole Mekaf is canceled and they have to return the money. And, you know, when we talk about that the part that he bought is already acquired, just like the worker did half the work, it's only in a case where it's similar to the worker, where, well, he did half the work, so he gets half the money. But if you can't split it, then we don't say that. Okay, then we just say the whole thing is canceled and he doesn't get what's connected. Okay, that'll lead into what we're going to do tomorrow.